In the name of Jesus, amen. The sermon today is based on the gospel, but before we get there, I'd like to say a few words about the epistle. Because there we learn about freedom. On Friday, we celebrated July 4th, a day that our founders signed the Declaration of Independence, and we gained our freedom as a nation. But the Christian church has a different declaration of freedom. Freedom for the Christian comes not from being free from some sort of hierarchy or some sort of monarchy or oppressive dictatorship. Freedom for the Christian comes from the forgiveness of sins. And so we celebrate every Sunday our own freedom in these words: your sins are forgiven you. And with that, the Lord sets us free. Because on the cross he broke the oppression of the devil and of death, and now he has liberated his people. As Jesus himself said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's what Jesus came to do, after all, to die. Well, two things really, to teach and to die. He had to teach first, because through the teaching we would know what his death is about, why he has to die, to overcome our own sin and death, so that the followers of our Lord would know what he's doing here on the cross and in the tomb. This is Jesus' plan, by the way, to deal with our sin and with our death, with our corruption and with everything that's wrong with us. His plan is to die and to rise again and to come back and give us the gift of the resurrection. The more that I see, and I think this is how the Lord has it for all of us, the more that I see the sickness that we all struggle with and the death that we all fight and the sin and the temptation that we do battle against, and the more I see cancer and sicknesses of mind, Alzheimer's and this sort of thing, the more we go through all of this, the Lord is teaching us to hope for the resurrection. Because it's in the resurrection, dear saints, and you know this, it's in the resurrection that every sickness and every illness and everything wrong with us will be healed. Every cancerous body will be fixed. Every mind that's being lost to Alzheimer's or any other sort of mental disease, that will be made right. Every tear that we cry will be wiped away. Every body that's in the grave will be raised. Every temptation that we face will be gone. Every sin will be absent. And there will be no more death, and no more sorrow, and no more tears. So it is that in the resurrection, the Lord Jesus is planning to heal every affliction of our body. We will never more be hungry or thirsty or in any kind of want and need. So I think that this life of suffering and tears is almost like a schoolhouse of hope. We're learning by the Holy Spirit to hope for that great last day. But, and perhaps here's the point that we're getting at, when Jesus came the first time, he came not to bring the gifts of the resurrection, but rather to teach and to die. He didn't come to heal. But we see over and over in the text of the Scriptures, of the Gospels especially, that the Lord Jesus can't help himself. He sees people who are sick, who have leprosy, or who are possessed by demons, or who are blind, or who are hungry, and he heals them, and he feeds them, and he raises them from the dead, if they're dead. He didn't come to do that, but he does it anyway. And the word that we need to understand on this is the word compassion. Jesus has compassion. It's like the man that, even though he's late to an appointment that he's got, will stop and help you with the flat tire. Or it's like the person, and please understand this rightly, it's like the person who will loan you money even when they don't have any to give. You know that kind of people. They look at you and they're moved with compassion, and they will go out of their way, even doing the impossible, to get you what you need. This is how it is with Jesus. Even if it's an inconvenience to him, even if it causes him all sorts of trouble, even if it means he has to change his plans, even if it means it becomes a huge hassle, he has compassion, and he heals, and he feeds. The word compassion is the word that's at the heart of the gospel text for today. Mark chapter 8, verse 2, where our Lord Jesus himself says, "I have compassion on the multitude because they've been with me 3 days and they've had nothing to eat. The people are hungry." Now, we want to dwell on this word compassion for a little bit, because when we hear the word compassion, we think of an emotion, don't we? A feeling, a movement of the heart. But in the Bible, it means more. When we were up in Oregon a couple of months ago, Pastor Matt Harrison was there from LCMS World Relief and Human Care, and was giving a lecture on this word compassion. And he taught us about the Greek. The Greek word for compassion is an automatopoeia, which means it's a word that sounds like what it means. The words for compassion is splagidzomai. Splagidzomai. It means to pour out the bowels. So if any of you are hunters or have been on a hunt and you have a deer there and you hang it up from the hind legs and you cut it open to gut it, that's the sound that you hear. Splagidzomai. It's the sound that you hear when you go to the temple and you slice open an animal for sacrifice and the blood pours out of it. Splagidzomai. To have compassion, then, means to spill out the bowels. It means to pour out blood. It means to give your life for the care of another. So that when the Bible talks about compassion, it's not talking simply about the emotion, but there's always an action that follows. There's always something that comes next. For example, Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and following. A leper came to Jesus imploring him, and kneeling to him said, "If you will, you can make me clean." And moved with pity, splagidzomai, Jesus stretched out his hand towards him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And the leprosy left him and he was clean. Jesus' mercy, his compassion, leads him to do something. Luke 7, verse 12 and following. As Jesus drew near the gate of a town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Splagidzomai. And said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Or Matthew 9, 36 and following. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Splagidzomai. Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And so he does something. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field." The Lord has compassion, and then he does something about it. When he sees the 4,000 in the wilderness, he has compassion for them, splagidzomai, and he does something. He feeds them. With a handful of bread and a handful of fish, he feeds the 4,000. For when the Lord turns and looks upon us with mercy and with compassion, there is no stopping him from taking care of us. There is no lack of bread or food that can stop him from feeding us. There is no lack of doctors or medicine that will stop him from making us well. And there is no lack of blood that will forgive our sins. For the Lord looks upon us and has compassion on us, and he does something about it. He spills out his blood and his guts and his bowels and his everything for us on the cross. Splagidzomai. He has compassion on us and dies for us, that all our sins would be forgiven. And it's this, the Lord Jesus' death on the cross, which give us all of the gifts of his mercy and his compassion. It's from the cross that he feeds us, like he fed the 4,000, our daily bread, and provides all that we need for this body and life. It's by this, his cross, that he has made provision for the life to come, opening up the way to heaven and life eternal. And it's from this, the cross, that he gives us the gift of our baptism, marking us with his name, the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and claiming us as his own dear children. And it's from this, his cross, that he feeds us with his body and blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, and take and drink, this is the blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins." It is from his cross that he gives us all that he has, and makes us his own. So, dear saints, we feast on the Lord's compassion. We know it in our minds and in our hearts by faith. For we, the Lord's church, are the people that are created by his compassion. And we rejoice in this, as we have compassion for one another. So come. The Lord has been poured out for you. He has held nothing back. Your heavenly Father has spared nothing of his own, but has sent his only Son, his treasure, to make a way for you to life eternal. Come. Taste. See. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, and he loves you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.